Massive League Talks. It's a loverugbyleague.com podcast from the guys who bring you all the podcasts on loverugbyleague.com. Yes, it's Dave Parkinson and Adrian Jackson. And just like we said, he's talking Super League.
Round 12 as well, and I can't believe we're just under halfway through the season. The season's flying away. Maybe the quality of Rugby League is making this season feel like it's going really fast.
Round 12, some exciting rugby played, loads of points on offer, and let's have a run through the results. Bradford Bull 6, Huddersfield Giants 20, Hull FC 12, Wigan Warriors 56, Hull Kingston Rovers 44, London Broncos 16, Leeds Rhinos 34, Gatland Dragons 18, St Helens 62, Widnes Vikings 0, Warrington Wolves 54, Castleford Tigers 6, and Wakefield Trinity Wildcats 26, Salford City Reds 22.
Actually, there were some big scorelines, but there was some competitive scorelines as well. Certainly was on Saturday between Wakefield and Salford. It was a bizarre game, really, wasn't it? Because Salford, really, I think they were working out ahead. They lost the game.
And also Wakefield, they'll be wondering how they'll slip a 22 points to 6 half-time advantage, because in the first half, Salford were absolutely nowhere in this game. And in the second half, you're right, they'd be kicking themselves, thinking, how come we didn't win it at the end?
I'm sure Richard Agar would be wondering where it all went wrong for him in the second half. But fair play to Salford City Reds, whatever was said once again in a half-time break. Seemed to spur the City Reds onto better things, didn't they? And yeah, Wakefield Trinity Wildcats on the ropes for large parts of that game. You just couldn't get the game won.
Tries from Collis, Washbrook, Mariano and Fox in the first half really did set Wakefield Trinity Wildcats on their way. In response, Salford replied with a try from Holdsworth. In the second half, it was hold on to your hats, near open the score as far as Salford were concerned. Couple of goals in the back from Sykes, edged Wakefield further ahead. But then we saw a fascinating finish with Gibson landing two tries, Holdsworth kicking three goals from four, but it wasn't quite enough.
Had a few chances as well, Salford City Reds, to be honest, and you just never took them. So a lot to learn from that game for the City Reds. You need to work out how to get over the finishing line when you've got the teams on the back foot.
One game that did look close up until around about the 50-minute mark was up at Hull Kingston Rovers. Now, eventually it finished Hull Kingston Rovers 44, London Broncos 16. 26-12 it was at half-time. London Broncos well within the game, and they scored first in the second half. Broncos tries being scored from Rodney, Randall and Dixon. Rodney kicking two goals from three attempts. It was a return of the old stager, wasn't it, for Hull Kingston Rovers. Dave Hodgson, hat-trick from him.
Three well-taken tries by David Hodgson. He's been a notable try scorer throughout his career in Super League.
Really good stuff played down that left-hand side by Hull Kingston Rovers. Other tries scored by Horn and Green. Dobson with a perfect kicking record, 8 from 8, and it's good to see him back doing what he does best.
One game that was only closed at kick-off was St. Thomas versus Widnes, and it was one-way traffic from the 11th minute.
Yeah, Soliola bashing his way through after 11 minutes. Paul Welland scoring over just a couple of minutes later. Anthony Lafranchi scoring two tries in the space of 4 minutes. And there was a hat-trick from young Adam Swift, who must be pleased as punch with the way that he's gone so far in the first team.
Other try scorers on the night for St. Thomas were with Louis McCarthy-Scarsbrook, Andrew Dixon, Michael Shenton and Mark Flanagan. Also as well, Johnny Lomax, he added 9 conversions from the 11 tries scored. That's for Widnes Vikings. What can you say about it?
It's a big sorry nil, wasn't it? They didn't really turn up for this one at all, did they? And it ended up with St Helens hardly looking like they were escaping from second gear for most of the game.
One of the players that I caught up with for St Helens, who was rather happy with the night's performance, was Chris Flannery.
Well, we obviously were led into the game in that last 15 minutes last week, and there was a, you know, quite a big push of training this week to come out here tonight and have an 80-minute performance, and we just concentrated on our defence mainly, and I think, you know, that was what won it. We always, Saints can always attack, you know, it's just their defence. Our defence sometimes it lets us down, so we really wanted to come out here tonight, and you know, with keeping the scoreboard to zero, but obviously we achieved our goal.
Save some of the last grasp tackling at the end where Widnes were pushing for a consolation try. You just seemed hell bent on maintaining that scoreline.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the effort that those boys showed getting back on their line and defending that just probably summed up the attitude of everyone on the night. And yeah, it was a huge effort for us to keep them to nil. You know, they can attack, as you saw last week. You know, if you give them enough ball, they can score a lot of points. So it was a really good effort, I thought, tonight. And you know, we're not going to get too carried away, but I think, you know, we're heading in the right direction in terms of our defence.
You mentioned how good the defence was, but on the attack it was even more impressive.
Yeah, that's right. We we, as I said before, you know, we can usually always score a number of points. It's just we've just got to keep the other teams in check. But yeah, tonight we sort of had both, you know, both things, you know, defence and attack sort of going at the same time. And I think it's more an energy thing, really. You know, we completed our sets at the start of the game, and that put us in good stead for the second half. And when you're completing your sets and holding under the ball and putting pressure on teams like that, then when you get when you have to defend, you know, you've got a lot of energy to do that. Whereas if you're turning over the ball quite regularly, then you're using a lot more, you know, energy than you have to.
26
another half time.
Much happened, you said, during that break?
Yeah, it wasn't, obviously wasn't a lot, but you know, we're up by a bit probably last weekend, and we let them back into the game. So it was pretty much, you know, you completed that first 40 minutes the way we wanted to, and you know, you've just got to keep your foot on the pedal now, and you know, don't let off. And you know, it was a great performance for us to keep on doing that, and I don't think we've really done that for quite a while. So it was yeah, nice to come off the field and achieve that.
From one comfortable victory to another, over at the Halliwell Jones Stadium on Sunday, Warrington Wolves amassed a 54-6 victory over Castleford Tigers, and another points rampage.
It was one that, as soon as Chris Bridge went over after 5 minutes, Warrington to see him hell bent and getting as many points as he could before the half time break. Trent Waterhouse crashed over literally 9 minutes later. Joel Monahan chipped in with two tries as well. Then Brett Hudson got in on the air with two tries in 2 minutes. And just before the half time break, Ryan Atkins made it an easy 38-0 half time lead. And you didn't know what was going to happen to the Tigers in the second half. But they made a bit of a game of it in that second half. They did get a try through Lee Mitchell, who, as we all know, is on loan from Warrington to Castleford for the season. So we'd have enjoyed that moment. Unfortunately, it was just a consolation try, because once he did that, Warrington hit back with a few more tries during that second half. Atkins getting a second try, Riley and Gricks finishing off the scoring with Hodgson getting 7 goals from the 10 tries scored. So it wasn't a great game in rugby league, but it was an effective rugby league for Warrington.
Ian Millward described the attack of his side as boring. Would you agree with that?
I wouldn't say it was boring, but unfortunately they had a lot of possession, just couldn't find that cutting edge to open up the Warrington defence. So, you know, it was a comfortable performance for Warrington Wolves, and at the end of it, I caught up with one of the heroes who got 2 tries on the wing for the Primrose and Blue, and that was Joe Monahan. Joe Monahan had 10 try demolitions today against Castleford. The boys happy with the performance today?
Yeah, amazing. We made some improvements and stepped forward with our attack. Thought our defence there was good too. We held a fair bit from about an hour wide, and only crossed for 1 try, I think, which was positive for us. And it's good to get back to that attacking style we played for that.
Mentioned the attacking play, 10 tries, scored some well taken tries as well.
It was good. It was, you know, I worked on it during the week, and I was out playing to use a footy bit and work out the sport, and I thought it was going to be a forward based game. We got into something that was dry with the football, which was good. So we had to use the ball a bit, which was, they were struggling a bit lately with their attack, and it was good to sort some stuff out going forward.
Did you make a cast for tonight?
Yeah, they're in, obviously, that lost last week hurts them, and you know, a lot of injuries, I think. And then they lose a few early for the game, too, so they're in a bad place at the moment. But to their credit, they stuck to it, and in that second half, they never gave up, and they got over and pressured their line for a lot of that second half. So they're feeling for them as a league player, but it was definitely positive for us to win.
It was. It's all about beating the opposition. Having been defeated by Castleford last time, it was important to get back to winning ways in the league.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't our type of footy we play. We were disappointing our last few. Met some helmets here and then Catlin's away. It was it's not what we're used to, and it was good to get back in our style of footy we like to play. And, I think from 2017 we did that.
For yourself personally, 2 tries today.
Yeah, it was good. It was, the outside backs, we, and the forwards, when they go and do what they do, it gives us a bit of space to get wide. And I think all the outside backs got a couple of tries, so it was, that's what we played for before. We thoroughly enjoyed it when we played that style of footy.
He takes a bit of a sidestep next week. It's all about the Cup. Bradford Bowls can be a tasty game, that one.
A little bit. There's a few Super League teams joined each other, and we're one of them, so it's a big game for us. And it's a big crowd, and look forward to it, actually. Can't wait.
Friday night saw Leeds Rhinos take on Catalan Dragons.
Great start for the Rhinos, wasn't it? They seemed to set the intent out straight away. They wanted to attack, and they hit the front for Jones Bishop after 4 minutes. Ian Fulton winger in Super League Ryan Hall chipped in with another try after 11 minutes, and Leeds were up and running before Olivia Anderson hit back to get their only try in the first half. Thomas Bishop hit back with another try a quarter of an hour before their half-time break, and that gave the Rhinos a healthy 16-6 lead, and they were never going to make that advantage count if they ever scored first in that second half, and they did that through Zach Hardick. And once again, it's the youngsters in that back line who seem to be getting plenty of tries for Leeds Rhinos. Menzies chipped in with his usual try for the Cassandra, because how great he'd been for them this year. Leon Price got the final try for them, but it was all in vain. Leeds were always dominant, and the highlight of the night for the Rhinos was when Sean Lunt went over on his debut, and eventually the final try from Bailey gave Leeds the scoreline they were looking for.
It was a win in the mud for Huddersfield Giants. They took on Bradford Bulls over there at Oddsall, and this was a real tense, tight struggle right into the second half. McGilvery scoring the first try of the game after 15 minutes. Platt replying as far as Bradford were concerned after 34 minutes. Then there was a fantastic try from Luke George, and he belied the conditions, which were real soggy underfoot. I saw the video, and there was water splashes everywhere. He picked the ball up 20 metres from his own line, shot down the other end of the field, beat three players as well. Great for Huddersfield Giants. They were 10-6 up at half time and just kept chipping away and chipping away until Brough went over after 76 minutes to add to his four goal tally. It's probably a game that, to be fair, won't live long in the memory of the fans who are watching it. They will probably remember it for just a game where the rains came down and everybody got wet, but you've got to get involved in those type of arm wrestles, haven't you? And the good sides, they can come out on top in those games.
Well, just feel the one of them good sides as well, and they're capable of grinding out results along with the flashy stuff as well, aren't they? And that's exactly what they did against Bradford in the mud at Oddsall on Sunday. Can't think of a better place to be watching a game of rugby league.
There was plenty of flashy stuff on show from Wigan Warriors. Now, they inflicted Hull's worst ever home defeat, 56 points to 12. That's a victory of some magnitude, isn't it, for the Warriors? Yes, I know, Hull fans, they'll probably point to the fact that they were missing 7 or 8 first team players, the fact that they had the reserve team coach out there with the lads.
No one would have actually foreseen this one, but they really could. Hull FC have been going quite well in recent games. Everyone saying they are probably the dark horses within the Super League table this season, though, hitting the top two just before the Easter break. So they'll be shell-shocked by that. I know they've got a few injuries, but despite that, it is a squad game in Super League, so they've been hoping to put a team out there that would have remained competitive for the 48 minutes, and unfortunately didn't get off to the best of starts against a Wigan team that just seemed to be finding their feet once again, don't they? And when they hit the lead at 28-0 at half-time, the damage is done. It's just a case of how many points even the ship in during that second half. No, Hull got two tries in that second half through Ellison Sharp, but a fine take and hat-trick by Pat Richards seemed to set the tone for the rest of the match for Wigan Warriors.
Yeah, Richards scoring two of his three try tally in the first 7 minutes. In fact, it was an effective left side in the opening quarter of the game as far as Wigan were concerned, because Gareth Hock also went over for a try. Tompkins went over by the side of the post after 36 minutes. Charnley also chipped in with a fifth try as far as Wigan were concerned before the break. Second half, they again piled on the points. Richards opened the scoring. Charnley chipped in with his second. McAlorum has really stepped up to the mark this season. He added a try. Lulai went over 10 minutes from the end. And the icing was put on the cake when Liam Finch went over a minute from time. Pat Richards kicked 7 balls from 8 attempts. Josh Charnley 1 from 2. But ultimately, a very disappointing performance as far as Hull are concerned. So with those results, Adrian, how do they stand?
Leading the way at the top of the league ladder after 12 games played at Huddersfield Giants, they've got 10 wins so far out on 20 points. And then just behind them are Wigan Warriors in second, Warrington in third, Catan Dragons are fourth, Hull FC fifth, Leeds Rhinos sixth, St Helens seventh, and at the minute in eighth place with 6 wins from the 12 games played, it's Bradford Bulls.
Could be a real battle developing for who actually gets in the top 8. St Helens, Bradford and Hull Kingston Rovers separated by just 2 points. It is warming up, isn't it? It's Challenge Cup action this weekend, and let's have a run through the fixtures. A place in the quarterfinals up for grabs. On Friday we've got Featherstone Rovers at home to Wigan Warriors. Oldham take on St Helens at Langtree Park. Saturday sees Catalan Dragons take on Sheffield Eagles, and Warrington host Bradford Bulls. Sunday, Batley take on London Broncos. Huddersfield Giants home to Swinton Lions. Lee Centurions against Halifax. And Salford City Reds take on the Leeds Rhinos. There's no Super League talks next week. It's all going to be bundled up in a massive Challenge Cup matters.